dude, here's a link. Go ahead and join.
Uh-huh.
So there, it's a sneaky way of getting them to make you money.
Yeah.
Second way would be, and this works a little bit sometimes, and sometimes it might not work, is what you do is you create a free report, some kind of a viral report like we discussed before.
Uh-huh.
Something that someone might want to pass around. And it has affiliate links in it.
Okay.
You know, it has links in it for people to click that go out to different places to buy.
Uh-huh.
What you do is you give the person from the different affiliate website,
uh-huh,
or the joint venture partner, you give them the copy of your report with full distribution rights,
mm-hmm,
and then you brand it with their own affiliate link.
Okay.
So for them, it becomes a free viral marketing tool. They can send it out to as many people as they want without any chart or anything on your end,
uh-huh,
and all the links in the site are their own affiliate links.
And this is on a two-tier system, so you get paid on them as well.
Well, it doesn't even have to be two-tier, and here's why.
Okay.
So if they're going to be sending out this to all of their people, and it's got their own affiliate link, so far you haven't made any money.
Right.
But there's one thing they cannot change, and that is the author.
Uh-huh.
They're not allowed to say who authored that report.
Right.
And then the web URL of the author.
Okay, yeah.
So in essence, you're sending out, he's going to be sending out all this stuff, and it's just going to say, oh, this has been written by Anik Singhal from AffiliateClassroom.com.
Uh-huh.
So it won't build amazingly massive amounts of traffic quickly, but eventually it's just a free source of traffic.
Exactly.
And some people may or may not do that because they, you know, other people will also see, well, okay, you still have a link to your site. You're a competitor with me. I don't want that there.
Right, yeah.
So in that case, okay, don't give it to them. Then you're just like, well, there's nothing in it for me, so screw you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but some people might take it. Some still might take it because they'll say it's free content for me.
Uh-huh.
And the third way, and this once again comes back to why I'm such a big advocate of having an upsell,
uh-huh,
is you create your own upsell. Here's the genius behind it, because your competing affiliate, let's say we're both selling, we'll go back to the resume example.
Uh-huh.
Let's say the both of us are selling an affiliate ebook on resume writing.
Uh-huh.
Now I set up a $200 upsell.
Okay.
And I find out from my own numbers that I'm converting 10% of the people who buy from me.
Uh-huh.
I'll approach this guy who is my quote-unquote competing affiliate, and I'll say, hey, look, how would you like to make $100 extra for every 10 people that buy that ebook?
Right.
I mean, who's going to say, no, I don't want to make that money?
Yeah.
You know, he's going to say, sure, what do you got in mind? And we'll say, look, I'm running a very similar thing that you're doing, and I've been promoting this exactly like this, and I make this much sales, this much conversion, this much money.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you $100 for every person you send out to me. All you need to do is, when someone buys this, just send them a promotion for my upsell.
Excellent.
And I'll pay you for the commission. So in essence, you became a merchant.
Beautiful.
And, you know, now you can pick all your most competitive affiliates and make them your partners.
Excellent. Next question is from Chibi Udu. And the next question is, how do I increase traffic and sales on my website?
My notes on this one say that is two ebooks on its own.
Exactly.
One on how to increase traffic and one on how to increase conversion.
That's true. That's true. Maybe just a couple of quick tips.
Right. I think if she or he listens to the entire conference call we've had so far, I've given quite a few tips on how to increase traffic.
Yeah.
From things like link exchanging, search engine optimization, pay-per-click, e-sign articles, e-sign promotions, publishing articles. So much stuff. Forum promotions, sitting and actively promoting in forums, doing offline marketing, banner advertising. So these are all techniques you can use to increase traffic. If you're working on a very low budget, I suggest you start with stuff like article publications, link exchanging, joint ventures in the sneaky ways that I just told you guys about,
mm-hmm,
and all of those things. Now, how to increase conversions on your website. Now, that is that's actually, I think, an even bigger topic than getting traffic.
Okay.
It all depends on the type of site you have. If you're working on pre-selling, then how to increase conversions is to test your actual pre-sale material.
Okay.
Do not bombard the people that come to your site with massive amounts. One of the biggest mistakes I see, this is what it is, is you go to an affiliate website and they think that if I just throw 50 banners at this person,
yeah,
I'll make a lot of money. And no, it's not true. Not 50. Maybe give them two or three choices like we discussed.
Right, yep.
You're going to increase conversions if you see yourself as more of a person who throws a comparison and rather than a person who throws, like, buy this, buy this, buy this.
Right, yep.
So you will see an increase in conversion if you just kind of act as more of a friend. You know, oh, look, here's the three things and whatnot. Other than that, really, you know, there's a lot of elements that go into site conversion. The color, the headlines, the design itself, the navigation of the site, the text you're using, the link text you're using. So all of that needs to be tested.
Okay, excellent. Next question she has or he has is, how do I get involved in auctions?
Funny thing is, we actually just did an entire case study on that this month in Affiliate Classroom.
Oh, yeah?
I interviewed Tamara Riddle, who is an eBay expert, and so she makes a lot of money off of eBay. So really, you know, how to get involved in auctions, first place to start is eBay, obviously. And I think eBay actually has a very good tutorial. If you go there and you say become a seller, they have a huge frequently asked questions section.
Uh-huh.
Has all these questions like, how do I start? Where do I start? What do I do? How much does it cost? So just, I would say just take one day and spend it all there just reading everything, and you're pretty much going to be ready to go.
Okay.
You know, this is another one of those questions where there's, you know, multiple e-books on it, so it's kind of a general question.
Excellent. Yeah, that's true. Next question from John Bates says, how important are landing pages when you create content?
Okay. I'm not quite so sure what he means by landing pages. I'm assuming he's talking about the actual pages with the pre-sale on them.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, how important are they? They're the most important thing in the world because that's, you know, it's like asking someone who, you know, it's like asking a company how important is your salesperson. Well, that's the most important person because that's who's going to do the selling for me.
Right, yeah.
So these landing pages, that's what they are. They're your salespeople. When someone lands there, that's what's going to decide whether they buy or not. So it's very important to have a good landing page and to test your landing page.
Okay, the next part of the question is, should you repurpose articles to cater for different search engines for different keywords?
And this is an excellent question, and this gets into search engine optimization. Really what I found is there's two different types of search engines. There's one that follows the Yahoo methodology, and there's one that follows the Google methodology.
Can you explain them both?
Sure, of course. Yahoo is, for example, for both of them, linking is very important. But Yahoo also pays a lot of attention to your keyword concentration in each page.
Uh-huh.
So how many times you use a particular keyword in each page is going to help.
Okay.
And you know what? I've heard a lot of different numbers, and I think the safe number is usually people say 5%.
Okay.
Your keyword density on the page should be about 5%.
Okay.
Google, however, could care less about the keyword density on your page. They're looking more at, they're very, very strong about the links.
Okay.
And what they look at is, what keywords are people using to link to you?
Uh-huh.
Now, think about it. That's really, really neat, because if your website is about dog health, and I link to you, if I link to you using the keywords dog health,
uh-huh,
that's like me voting for you. It's like me putting up a vote saying, "Oh, if I'm willing to tell my readers that your site is about dog health, Google can be pretty sure that it's going to be about dog health."
Right.
So they really pay attention to what they call anchor text. That's the text you're using to link to someone. And then at the same time, they're going to pay attention to your meta tags,
uh-huh,
on your actual HTML pages.
Uh-huh.
And then they're going to see what page title you have, what you title your actual page.
Okay.
So the bottom line question, no, you shouldn't have to cater. What I recommend you always do is just create a page that already has a 5% keyword density.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like it's gonna hurt you on Google. So it can't hurt you. So just create one page that has that, and then make sure you have good meta tags and good titles. And then do a good linking strategy, and it'll pretty much take care of all the search engines at the same time.
Okay, excellent. Next question from Kingsley Enwarizo, and the question is: I'm new to affiliate marketing, and I want to know the best way to build and design an affiliate site that makes sales. How can I reach a target of $5,000 per month promoting my affiliate program?
To build affiliate websites, I would definitely have to say that if you have absolutely no HTML experience and you don't want to deal with it, go with either Site Builder, which we discussed before, or SEO Website Builder. Or you can hire someone from Scriptlance if you have a budget. You can get someone to build a site for you very cheap from like a place like Scriptlance or Elance. However, you have to be willing to maintain the site, or you have to be willing to pay someone to keep it maintained for you. So your three options are a site builder, SEO website builder, or hiring someone from a place like Scriptlance or Elance.
Okay. And then how about how can I reach my target of $5,000 per month promoting my affiliate program?
That's going to be pretty much $5,000 a month in one program. I would say it would probably take you about maybe two or three different affiliate websites.
Okay.
That's guessing that you also have some upsells on that on them.
Okay.
You can I think you could do it pretty easily with three that all have their own upsells and that you have a good marketing program going for.
Okay, excellent. Next one from Bernard Schindler, and he writes, I'm having trouble finding an easy site builder. Which would you recommend? Well, I think we've already recommended.
So as you can see, this is a definite problem amongst the industry.
Yep.
People are having issues with building sites.
Absolutely, man. You've made a couple of good recommendations there, so that's perfect. Next one is Jimmy Walker. He says, I'm going to be honest. I've signed up as an affiliate for several things, but I have no idea where to start. What should I do?
He's one of the guys that's dragging their averages down. He's signing up, but he's not. You know what it is? Jimmy is the exact type of person that Affiliate Classroom was developed for. It's the person who has information overload, doesn't know where to start, and that's what we have our step-by-step for.
Uh-huh.
Give him a rough idea. He needs to pick one niche.
Uh-huh.
Stop signing up for several. Pick one niche, research it, find a few affiliate programs, decide on an edge for the website. What exactly is his unique thing? Then, of course, like I said, find an upsell. And then just start building the website with content and information and all of that stuff. And as he's going for traffic, use things like pay-per-click, forums, link exchanging, search engine optimization, easing promotions, all the same good old stuff.
Excellent. Next question is from John Crawford, and he says, is email dead or dying?
Still alive, still very much alive, a little bit less effective, but don't worry, it's still there and still very profitable.
Okay. And second part is, just being computer unsavvy makes me wonder if I've just missed the boat.
Oh, not at all. I'm not computer savvy at all. As a matter of fact, I despise my computers, and they despise me, so we have a very bad relationship, but you know what? They make me my money, so no, not at all. You don't need to worry about all that stuff, and the thing is, it's so cheap to buy someone to do it for you. RSS and blogs, computer people are very inexpensive nowadays online through places like Scriptlance, and I mean really very, very inexpensive. You don't even need to really – RSS and blogging is not going to – it's not like if you don't do them, your business won't grow.
Okay.
RSS and blogging are a new thing that just came out in the last year.
Uh-huh.
And is that does that mean that people before that weren't making successful businesses?
No.
No, I mean, this was not necessary. So all I always say is focus on two things, content and marketing. That's it.
Excellent. Next is a question from LaVon Van Dyke, and she says, what would your advice be on the best ways to advertise affiliate products to get the best or fastest results for someone who doesn't have a website and is new to the internet and affiliate marketing?
Okay. The best ways to get some traffic if you don't have a website at all would be, one of them is, the quickest way would be to do easing promotions.
Okay.
Easing our promotions, because what you can do is you can write a quick promotion that goes out to everybody, and the link can be an affiliate link.
Okay.
So it won't matter, so you can send them directly to the merchant website. I would have said pay-per-click, but we know that has changed, so I'm not going to mention that. Article promotions. I see a lot of affiliates doing article promotions, which is cool, which is, you know, a good thing.
Uh-huh.
What they're doing is they're writing an article, and in their resource box, they're putting an affiliate link.
Uh-huh.
So it's not going to be nearly as effective as doing easing promotions, especially if she's looking for faster results.
Right.
I would say go with easing promotions. And if she doesn't mind putting up just a one- or two-page website, just for the pay-per-clicks, just for a landing page, then I recommend pay-per-click also.
Okay, super. Next question is from Chong Ko, and his question is, what are your experiences with eGold, INT Gold, and eBullion?
Never used any of them. I have no experience with them. However, I'm always open, so I'll research them, and if anyone wants to know more about them, they can email me. But as of yet, I've never used them. My main payment processors so far have been PayPal and T-Checkout, and I have used a little bit of StormPay. But those are the only three I've really worked with so far.
Okay. Next is James Smithson asks, I've been promoting my free store club affiliate site for almost 2 years, and I've managed to get 6 people in my downline using mainly free advertising, FFA, classifieds, and recently SafeList blasters. Except for $8 a month for a classified ad on inetgiant.com to promote my free store site, I have no expenses. They're still free members, so I have no commissions yet. I cannot add anything to my site at my membership level, so I cannot capture any leads, and I've learned that it's required to make money online, is to capture leads. Should I make a lead capture website with an e-zine or newsletter or a separate website to promote all my businesses? I've even considered a site with my interests and hobbies and have a page that promotes my business. Okay, let's take that one first. Should I make a lead capture page website with an e-zine or newsletter?
Not for all of them. This is something that should be tested, but yes, it does work a lot in a lot of industries. My experience with creating a lead capture page where I ask for someone's email is it doesn't actually this is also working out of a limited niche. I haven't tested this in every niche.
Okay.
But my conversions are the same. Let me give you an example. Like, let's say I'm sending 100 people directly to a sales page, and I convert 2%, so I get 2 sales.
Okay.
Now let's say all of a sudden I'm not sending them to the sales page, but I'm sending them to the sign-up page.
Uh-huh.
And then after the sign-up page, I lead them to a thank you page, which is my sales page.
Okay.
So technically people think that I should see an increased conversion.
Uh-huh.
Here's what happens. I see about a 20% of the people will give me their email.
Uh-huh.
But I'll still get those 2 sales.
Okay.
So it's like the 2%, as far as the money goes, the sales goes, has not increased. But what I've done is I've gotten 20 people's email.
Uh-huh.
And that means in the long run, I'll be able to make some more money.
Okay, yeah.
By promoting to them in the future.
Okay. Also, the next part of the question is, I'm involved in traffic exchanges, pay-per-click, pay-to-read, FFA, and classified sites. Of course, I'm a free member to all of it, but the Free Store Club. I'm having trouble deciding if I should start a separate site.
If he's really dedicated to the Free Store Club,
mm-hmm.
and he really believes in what they're doing, then I would say that he needs to build some form of a trust with his list, because if they're not just not signing up from all these sources of traffic,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's been through a lot. Let's go from the beginning. He said he's done FFA classifieds. Oh, I don't like FFAs anyways, but he did classifieds. He did free advertising of any kind. He did SafeList blasters. Okay. Really, all those forms of advertising were kind of untargeted, so that could also be why he's not having good response.
Uh-huh.
Traffic exchanges are a very, very unique way of getting traffic. They work a brain of their own, so I'm not going to really spend too much time.
Okay.
But if he's not converting from traffic exchanges, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
Pay-to-click, I'm guessing he's talking about pay-per-click.
Well, there's a difference. There's also people who get paid to click anything on an ad. I think that may be what he's talking about.
Okay, so then again, so bad form of traffic.
Yeah.
Pay to read, bad form of traffic. FFA, bad form. So I'm seeing I'm seeing a bad source of traffic,
uh-huh.
really. I'm seeing a common problem there. He's not really getting target traffic, and the reason I can tell is because he's looking for free traffic.
Yeah.
It's like they say in this world, you know, nothing, you know, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
Exactly.
And on top of that, you get what you pay for. So it's just going to take some money to invest in. Even if he has his own separate site, but he continues to use the same form of traffic,
uh-huh.
he's not going to see a massive increase in conversions. It's just poor traffic, that's all.
Okay.
I would ask him that before he jumps into the process of setting up his own site, try testing some forms of traffic like e-zine ads.
Okay.
and things of that sort. And if you have some hope, you see some better conversions,
uh-huh.
then it's a time to start thinking about setting up your own lead capture pages and doing some actual marketing with some qualified leads.
Okay, super. This is the final group of questions from Bill Ellingsworth. And he'd like to know, he says, thanks for letting me ask you a question. I wanted to know more about traffic EQ. In my first venture, I have an SBI site. I've heard that the program does not integrate well with SBI. Is this true? And if so, what should I do?
Okay, by the way, SBI, for everyone who doesn't know, is Site Build It.
Okay.
So that's one of the site builders I was talking about.
Okay, yeah.
And yes, putting a traffic equalizer pages on the SBI sites is a pain in the butt.
Okay.
The reason it is SBI does not have, with most servers, you can upload massive amounts of pages all at one time.
Uh-huh.
Or at least you just, you put it into a queue and it does it for you one page at a time.
Uh-huh.
SBI, each page has to go up one at a time.
Okay.
And you have to physically do it. So if you use Traffic Equalizer to create 1,500 pages, yes, you're going to load 1,500 different pages one by one. That's a pain in the butt.
Yep.
So no, don't even go there. I know that people say, oh, you can use it with SBI. Yeah, don't even bother. It's too much of a pain. Because think of it this way: every time you make a slight update,
mm-hmm.
like if I even change like a space and I recreate my pages,
uh-huh.
I have to do it all over again.
So it's just physically yes, it's possible, but practically in practical terms, unless you're going to spend a year, no.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And another thing I want to drill this home again, to kind of cover my own butt too, is do not use Traffic Equalizer on your main domain names.
Okay.
Just don't do it. I have yet to have anything banned.
Uh-huh.
But I want everyone to be careful. I don't want someone to point to me and say, "Look, you screwed me over."
Yeah.
So it's good. Don't put it on your SBI site. Create another domain name, and Traffic Equalizer is like a site in a box. It creates its own site, so you don't have to worry about having a site. You just run the program, it creates a site for you.
Okay.
And if you need more information, you can always check out the course I have at dominatesurgeon.com. So.
Okay.
But I would say, yeah, don't use it with SBI.
Okay. Next part of the question is, how do I go about placing links on the pages, or am I really missing something here? I know some of the sites that I've used on the program, and I don't see that many pages on their site. So where are they? Do you understand that question?
I do understand the question.
Okay.
What he's saying is, I think this is what he's saying. I hope this is I'm understanding it correctly. Is, for example, if you go to one of my websites that uses Traffic Equalizer,
uh-huh.
And you go to the main homepage,
uh-huh.
Unless you are a Traffic Equalizer user,
uh-huh.
you will not find my other pages.
Okay.
And it's not because I've, really hidden them. It's just because you're not going to know where to click to find them.
Okay.
So what he's asking is, how come I go to the sites that I know are using Traffic Equalizer, but I don't find the pages?
Uh-huh.
It's because technically, I don't want you to go to that page.
Right, yeah.
I'm supposed to have you go from that page to my home page.
Okay, yeah.
So you're already at my home page, so there's no need for you to see the other pages.
Right, yeah.
But as far as search engines are concerned, don't hide the page, meaning don't make it a teeny little link in the corner somewhere or change the link of the color of the link to the same with your background. That's when people start getting banned.
Okay, yeah.
I don't hide it at all. It's there. It's just, it's in a place where you're not likely to click it.
Okay. Can you say where that is?
Most of the time at the bottom, if you go, most Traffic Equalizer users are known to use the word resources.
Okay.
And if you click the link on resources,
uh-huh.
you will, most of the time, I would say 70% of the time, that's when you'll run into their Traffic Equalizer pages and you can snoop around.
Okay.
They also might use sitemap as the keyword.
Uh-huh.
And really, the bottom line is look for it somewhere at the bottom of the site.
Okay.
Just click a bunch of links at the bottom. You'll find it.
and it's one of these directory pages that pops up then.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
He'll know as soon as he hits the Traffic Equalizer page. You can pretty much tell.
Okay, super. Well, that pretty much ends it for the questions, Anik. Is there anything that you'd like to add that maybe we haven't covered for some reason? Any last words of encouragement?
I think we've covered. I just want to add that it's possible, guys. I mean, it's hard for me to say. I'm 21. I'm doing very well online. I love it. I love every minute of what I do. And it's so possible. I know people listening right now, you know, it's hard sometimes, you think it's a scam, and it's, but I tell you, it's really just a lot of determination, a lot of having faith in yourself and in the system, and then just finding one thing and focusing your brain on it. One of the biggest mistakes I made when I started was I was doing 50 things at one time, and my understanding was, oh, look, if I do 50, then I'll be a millionaire by, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
But biggest mistake I ever made, and I'm so glad that I learned quickly at such a young age, that, no, one project at a time. And focus in on it 110%, and, you know, that's going to be a huge success. And people have no idea how many ideas I've had gone through my mind the last few months while I'm working on AffiliateClassroom.com. I just write them down and I put them aside and I say, no, you know, I am focusing right now.
Yeah.
And it's helped. I mean, I've seen a tremendous increase in income ever since I did that.
Okay.
So focus in on one thing and just do that.
Beautiful.
Now, stop buying e-books.
Sorry?
Stop buying e-books. Every new e-book you buy that's a How to Make Money e-book,
uh-huh,
it's going to throw you, you know, almost all of them. I don't want to say every one, but almost all of them will give you brand new ideas and throw you away from what you're doing. So unless it has to do directly with what you want to do, don't buy it. If you're an affiliate marketer, don't go out right now and purchase a book on how to create your own product.
Okay.
If you really want to be an affiliate marketer, just don't do it because it's going to throw you off.
Excellent. Well, that's perfect. Now, where should people go if they want to contact you?
If they want to contact me, you can just go to affiliateclassroom.com. And there's an email at the bottom, or you can just shoot me over an email to support@affiliateclassroom.com.
Okay.
Or if you want to just call me, you can give us a call here at 301-591-0930.
And that's in the States, the U.S., the United States?
That's in the States, yes. I live on the East Coast in the States.
Okay, super.
So pretty easy to get a hold of. If you email me, I'm very good about getting back within about 10, 12 hours max.
Excellent. That's super. I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you very much for taking all this time with us, Enoch.
No problem. My pleasure.
Oh, it's been absolutely educational. You've been listening to Enoch Singhal from AffiliateClassroom.com and myself, Terry Telford, from TheBusinessProfessional.com. Thanks very much for your time.